Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. And with me in the studio is Dr. Wynn Kimbrough, my co-host for the show. Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College, is away today on a preaching mission, and we'll be back in the studio for our regular program as soon as he returns. We're certainly going to be holding him up in prayer. But Dr. Kimbrough, you and I have been talking on our last broadcast together about the topic of revival. And we ended our last broadcast looking at the prayer the psalmist prays for God to quicken him, to revive him. And that is an interesting prayer. When is a person in need of this?
Well, I think that one thing, when we look at revival, we always want to understand that it's easy to look and say, everybody else needs this. You know,
right.
The church needs revival. Mm-hmm. The nation needs revival. This other person needs revival. But really, revival is something that needs to take place in my own heart and life. And I believe God wants to do that. I know that I think one of the old and great revival preachers was Gypsy Smith. And he would talk about, in his crusades, who needed revival. And he said, the way to find out who needs revival is to go into your kitchen and get a piece of chalk and draw a circle on the floor. Then stand in the circle and say, God, send revival to everything in this circle. And that makes revival
sure.
really where it should be, personal. So
sure.
I look at revival as something that I want to impact our church and the people that we know and that we're associated with. Of course, the longing and cry is that God would do this kind of work in our nation in a national revival. But I think we can all experience personal revival, and that's where we get to the place where we do, as David said, in literally ask God to search me.
Mm-hmm.
Search
mm-hmm.
me, oh God. And that is much easier to read and say, well, that was good for David. I'm glad David did that after he sinned, than to be so honest that we go before God and say, Lord, search me.
Mm-hmm.
And that searching is going to the inner recesses of our hearts, you know, to the real depths of
mm-hmm.
our being.
Mm-hmm.
I heard someone describe it once as allowing, and you talked about this in the last broadcast, about the power of the Word of God as it relates to revival. And they were saying that we want the searchlight of the Holy Spirit of God through the Word of God, you know, examining us
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
in our own heart.
Right.
And if we respond to that, there is a cleansing. There is a revival
mm-hmm.
in our hearts. But I really do think that's where it starts.
Well, you know, you have a sheet here, and I've been kind of looking at it. It's called Examine Me, O Lord, and Prove Me. Try My Reins and My Heart. And it's really a sheet of questions that really are designed to really probe our heart to see where we're at. This is kind of like taking a spiritual chalk and drawing a circle around and then just not getting out of that circle till you ask these questions and answer them. And for example, one of the first ones here, is there anyone I cannot forgive?
Now that's penetrating. And I really like the way you just restated that with a spiritual chalk line around our lives in asking questions. I think it really does start there. You know, you've noticed in Scripture that many times God's confrontation with the person who has sinned is always by means of questions. I mean, you go all the way back to the garden, and
mm-hmm.
there were questions by God to Adam. Where are you? It wasn't that God didn't know where Adam was, but it was that he wanted Adam to own up
mm-hmm.
to his
mm-hmm.
own condition at that time. And these questions, they're certainly not original with me. I read them years ago, and then we just printed them out and had them handed out at different times, and I've used them in my own life as I think about it. But it seems like the questions just really get to our heart. And that first question, is there anyone I cannot forgive?
That's penetrating.
It really is. I mean,
who has hurt me? Who am I angry with?
Because what is our tendency when it comes to people that are offensive to us or even that we've offended?
Mm-hmm.
But in our heart, forgiveness is one of the keys in Christian living. I mean, it is the key to joy and fruitful living, I think, because if we can't forgive others, then there are all kinds of barriers between us and those people. And then there's a barrier between me and someone else. And there's also a barrier between God and me, because we are to be forgivers. And so just a simple question like that, I think it begins to establish, you know what? I need to look at my life. There may be people that I have not forgiven. Mm-hmm. And I have seen that, like I mentioned last time, I've had to go back to everyone from family members to others and ask their forgiveness. But I've also seen other people when God works so deeply in their heart, and there were major barriers. I mean, everything from broken marriages to businessmen who had just severed relationships to churches where there was animosity, and it grieved God so much, and people who really took this to heart. I mean, again, this is just one question, but is there anyone that I cannot forgive or do not forgive? Man, it goes to the place where they start dealing with that, and incredible things
happen.
Yeah,
I mean, there's 50 of these.
Mm-hmm.
How do I stand unpleasant remarks about myself? Do I welcome them as a means of deeper death to self, to know what others think or do not think of me?
Right. Again, these questions go to where we live.
Yeah, how do I react to criticism? Do I try to defend myself, or rather find out why I was the cause of criticism? I mean, I think all of us can relate to, you know, somebody being critical of us, and then we want to try to find, why did you say that about me, and
right.
What did you say, and who did you say it to, and where did it go, and why did it go there? Am I argumentative? Can I see another's point of view and make allowances if he or she be lacking in qualities like courtesy, fairness, considerateness, or kindness? That's a powerful one there.
Yeah. These are about our relationships. I mean, again, this is where we live. This is at home.
Mm-hmm.
This is
mm-hmm.
church members. This is on the job. You can't read these kinds of questions and not have something. And again, if we can try to live our lives in a godly way, but it is good for us to take times where we just set aside and get alone and allow some of these things. This is not so that we go on a guilt trip. Revival isn't about a guilt trip. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm not going to go to a revival meeting. They just make me feel guilty. Well, it may be that God is making you not just feel guilty, but, you know, exposing things. Revival isn't just so I go on a guilt trip and I feel bad because of something or whatever. The guilt trip only lasts as long as the preacher is there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if there is true conviction, and I think that's kind of the difference, where when there is genuine conviction that I really was wrong, I really did say that, I really did think that, I really did not respond to that person. I look at them and, you know, my view of them is horribly unbiblical.
Mm-hmm.
Then when we get to that place where we do say, Lord, it is I, this is me, and this is how I am, then that's conviction,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which is very different than just feeling guilty
mm-hmm.
about how I treated someone or the broken relationship. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, they're willing to tolerate a broken relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, their idea is, well, time heals all wounds.
Right, exactly. Do I tend to remember little grudges against people?
Well, you could stay there all day.
Do I acknowledge a fault? Am I quick to ask for forgiveness?
Mm-hmm. You see, I think that's another step, though, because it's one thing to be convicted about it. It's another thing to go back
actually
to the
go
person.
And do something. Sure.
Right? That's very humbling.
You know, there's a couple of really interesting ones here, Wynn, that I'm curious as to why you put them on here. For example, have I a wandering and undisciplined mind?
Mm-hmm.
Is my imagination under the control of the Holy Spirit? Am I a slave to routine? Do I object to my program or plan being upset? If I undertake something, am I persevering? Do I see it through to a finish? You know, we've been talking about a lot of relational items here, but yeah. These seem to be more, you know, am I a restless person? Am I somebody who is reliable?
These are the kind of things where, again, this is, since revival is personal and it's daily, then these are the kind of things that we have to answer. For instance, when it comes to our mind, you, as a pastor and as a counselor, have dealt with the horrible consequences of
an undisciplined mind.
Right.
Sure.
Not just in actions that are noticeable, but we know people that are no longer in the ministry because of what happened with their mind mm-hmm. in the internet and other things that impacted their life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, these questions are helping us start doing some life evaluation. You see, whenever we are going through our quote-unquote daily life, there is a purpose, and it would be easy for us to waste our life, to not use it in the manner in which God would want us to. I mean, we say, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well, you know what? There are things in a day that those kind of questions are addressing.
They penetrate. Right? There's no question about
that.
Am
I doing this to the glory of God? Is this the right kind of thinking? Is this the right kind of action?
All right. So let me just ask this question because, I mean, this is where we live. This is where our listeners are. I go through some of these questions. Is there anyone I cannot forgive? Answer, yes. Is discipline irksome or a delight? Well, you know, a lot of times it's irksome. Am I doing anything that I would condemn in others?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Am I given to fault finding? Possibly. I mean, if I really get honest, which I'm going to throw down on the table as the first step, as I look at these questions, these are so penetrating, I don't want to give a yes answer to all of them. I want to take these questions and just say no to all of them.
Right.
But really, if I get real honest, which is where the first step to this process comes, then yes, I've got to acknowledge that in some areas here. So once I acknowledge that, what's the next step?
Well, I think, first of all, whenever we acknowledge it, it is the beginning of the end of our pride. I don't want to admit these things. I want to go on.
Amen.
Living.
I understand that.
Right. And so, first of all, there has to be a pride and a self-sufficiency and in a recognition that in honesty, this is not how I am. And I think once God begins to expose these things in our pride, we are convicted, and then our pride, something happens, and it is called brokenness. See, a broken person is willing to acknowledge who they are and what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then you begin to take steps of correction. For instance, anyone that I'm not forgiving, well, there is a biblical answer to not forgiving others, and that is to forgive them, and in many cases, to go back to them. There are biblical answers for an undisciplined mind or an undisciplined lifestyle or the poor use of the stewardship of our time. And so I have to acknowledge it, and then God is taking us through this process of brokenness, and then there can be literally permanent life change. I have seen people that when there is true brokenness, their lives are changed, not for a day, not for a week, not for a month, but I still interact and know people that 30 years later, because of one time when they responded to God in humility, their lives were changed for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, they were disciplined in righteousness, as 2 Timothy 3 says. They
Excellent.
Were The word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction. That's literally the word training, for training in righteousness. Well, Dr. Kimbrough, it's been a delight to have you on the program today. And as usual, you have stirred our hearts about this topic. And don't forget that for those of you who do help us to stay on the air through your giving, Dr. Olala has a devotional journal entitled Manna that we would like to make available to you. And more information about that is on our webpage. Well, it's been a delight, and until the next time we meet together, we'll look forward to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. God bless you.